Please take your Bibles out and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. For those who are visiting with us for the last few months, we have been examining some of the books of the New Testament. And we are examining them to have a better understanding of the things contained therein so we can be better equipped to help teach those who do not fully understand the teachings of certain passages of Scripture. In the study of 1 Corinthians 15, it is a very lengthy chapter, but the chapter is about one theme. That theme is the resurrection and the final resurrection. This chapter covers more information and answers more questions concerning the final resurrection than any other text in the Bible. It begins by showing us in the first few verses that we are saved by the core elements of the gospel, and that's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Beginning in verse 5 through verse 8, it lists the witnesses, the eyewitnesses, that were living witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Those who saw him, those who talked to him, even some at the time of the writing of this letter, who were not yet dead, they were still alive, you could go and talk to them, and they would give you eyewitness testimony that they saw the Lord. And so we had eyewitness testimony. And then beginning in verse number 12 through about verse number 19, there is a list of consequences that would transpire if the resurrection proved to be false. If it proved to be a hoax, then there are certain things that would follow. Our faith would be in vain, there would be no power in our preaching, the apostles were false witnesses, those who were dead have already passed on, perished, and that we would have no hope, and the worst is that we would still be dead in our sin. Again, those are all hypothetical if the resurrection proved to be false. But we know that it's not false, that it is true. And then beginning in verse number 20, he talks about the order of the resurrection. And he talks about the first fruits. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus was the first one to arise from the dead to never die again. Other people in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, have been raised from the dead, but they would eventually die again. But when Jesus was raised, he would never die again. And there's going to be someone that follows him. Who is going to follow him to be those who die and are resurrected never to die again? That's going to be us. That's going to be in the final resurrection. And then we saw in verse 24 through 26, we spent some time in examining that the kingdom is going to be given back to the Father. And that's going to be done at the final resurrection and the final judgment of all men. And the kingdom is going to be given back to the Father who gave it to the Son and gave him the authority and delegated it to him while he was upon the earth. And we show very clearly this is a death nail and a nail in the coffin of premillennialism because they believe that the kingdom is not yet in existence. But this passage proved that it is. Because if it's not, then what is Jesus going to give his Father if what he is going to give him is not in existence? And then beginning in verse number 27, he showed the fallacy of those who denied the resurrection. And in verse number 30, we looked at this last time we were together. In verse number 30, he makes the argument that if the resurrection was not something that happened, then those who have obeyed the gospel and been baptized have been baptized for the dead. They've been baptized for someone that's dead. And I pointed out last week, or a couple of weeks ago, that that's the teaching of the Latter-day Saints. They believe that you can be baptized for the dead. This is not a proof text for the baptism of the dead. Verse 30 is showing the hypocrisy of being baptized that Jesus Christ never rose from the dead. And we explained the going into heaven and offering the blood on our behalf in Hebrews chapter 9. And then beginning in verse 36, there's a question that asked. And Paul knew that this question would be asked. If there is a resurrection, if there's going to be a final resurrection, the question is posed in verse 36. Some will say, verse 45, how are the dead raised up, and in what body do they come? And so the remainder of this chapter is about what the answer to that question is. If there is a final resurrection, in what body do they come? And in other words, when we overcome death, what kind of body will we have? Now, we began looking at this a couple weeks ago, and we got down to verse number 40. In verse number 40, the text says, there are celestial bodies, there are terrestrial bodies. The glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial one is another. Now, the celestial bodies apparently are those mentioned in the next verse. The sun, the moon, the stars, and each of them have its own glory. No two stars are alike. The sun and moon have different functions. The sun gives light in the daytime. The moon gives the night, gives light at night. And so they have different glory. They have different functions. The terrestrial bodies that are mentioned here are the bodies that are found upon the earth, including man and animal, and all bodies mentioned in previous verses. We showed last time we were together that the body of a fish is not like the body of a cow, and the body of a reptile in the sea is not like the birds in the air. They each have different types of body. They're all flesh, but they have different type of flesh. And we pointed out that the reason that that's so is God created them that way for the environment and the habitation that they live in. Why do we have a body of flesh and blood? Because we live on the earth. This is the body needed to live upon the earth, that we can walk and we can function and we don't have to put on special suits and we can breathe the air. We have this kind of body because it was created to live in this environment. Now, that's why we don't live on Mars. That's why we don't live on the moon. Because our bodies are not adapted to live in that environment, in that habitation, because it is a different type of environment. Now, he is making a physical argument because he's about to present the age-old question about what's going to happen when the final resurrection takes place. In verse 42 of the text, it says, so also is the resurrection. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Now, at the resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in corruption. What's that mean? That means the body that goes into the grave is corruptible. What does corruptible mean? It means defiled. It means decay. It means weakened. It means something that does not last. And so it is corruption. But what comes out of the grave is not the corruptible, but the incorruptible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, one kind of body goes in the grave, another kind of body comes out of the grave. Why is that? The reason that is because we are going to live in a different habitation. We're not going to live on the earth. And if we're not going to live on the earth, we're not going to need this body of flesh and blood. Because this body is made for the earth. The incorruptible body is going to be made for the new environment. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. There is nothing honorable about a dead body. A dead body, that doesn't mean that the body is dishonored, it means there's nothing honorable about it. It goes into the grave, and what happens to it? It decays. It defiles, and over time, what's going to happen? The Bible says it's going to return to dust. In Genesis 3:19, when the punishment was passed out after the sin in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7 says the same thing, that our body will go to dust, but the spirit will go back to God who gave it. So the body is sown in dishonor. It is a dishonored body because it's defiled, it's corruptible, it decays. And it withers, and it grows old, and it gets diseased, and it gets sick. That's a dishonorable thing. So what comes out of the grave is going to be just the opposite. It was sown in weakness. What does it mean it was sown in weakness? It was planted in weakness. You have to die. You're not going to go to the grave until you die. And so the body is weak. Why? Because it doesn't last. It's not eternal. And so it was sown in weakness. because it defiled. It was corruptible. It decayed. But it's going to be raised in power. Something is changing. Something is going to change. Verse 44. It is sold. Now this is important. It is sold a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, this body is the natural body. And it's the one that's going into the grave. But the one that comes out of the grave is not going to be the physical body. It's going to be the spiritual body. So there is a natural body, that's this flesh and blood, and there's a spiritual body. Now we, as God's people, know that we have an inner being. That inner being is our soul, our spirit. And that spirit separates from man at the time of his death. At the time of death, the spirit leaves the body. That's when death occurs. And when death occurs, the body, the physical flesh and blood, goes into the grave, and the spirit goes into the Hadean realm. Now, when the final resurrection takes place, then the body that was in the grave and the spirit that is in the Hadean realm is going to be united again. But what's coming out is not what went in. What comes out is going to be a spiritual body. Why? There are those in the members, or even in the Lord's church, that believe that the resurrection is going to be of a physical body. Why? Why would we have a physical body? We won't need it. We won't need it because we're not going to remain in this realm. What's going to happen at the second coming of Christ? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 verse 9 that the earth is going to be destroyed with fervent heat and every element is going to be dissolved with fervent heat. Okay, if we're going to remain on earth, what earth? What are we going to remain on? Because the earth is going up in smoke. And so there's not going to be a physical habitation. Since there's no physical habitation, there's no need of the natural body. Now, you remember when we talked about this earlier? When you plant a wheat, when you plant seeds of wheat, and you put them in the ground and you bury them, what comes up? Stalks of seeds? That's not what comes up. The wheat comes up in a different form. It's the same way with the physical body. It went in a physical body. It comes out a spiritual body. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And so there's going to be a change. And it's going to be made at the final resurrection. Now, you have shown to me great and severe trouble. Shall revive me again and bring me again from the depths of the earth. This is in Psalms chapter 71 and verse 20. Paul said something in verse chapter 3 of Philippians. He said, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform, now listen, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Our lowly body, what's he talking about? He's talking about our physical body. It's going to be transformed. What's that mean? That means change. That means change. What's it going to be changed to? It's going to be changed to a glorious body. I want you to take your Bible out for a moment. Keep a finger there in 1 Corinthians 15. But look at 1 John 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3 and verse 2. John said, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, now when is he going to be revealed? He's going to be revealed when he returns. We shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We will be like him. Now, some people have misinterpreted that. to mean that we're going to be like God. No. We're going to be a spiritual being. What does John 4 say about God? God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. God doesn't have a body of flesh and bone. Now some religions teach that. Some religions teach in the New Age religion that God has a physical body just like ours. And over a period of time, He became the God that He is. And over a period of time, we grow and we become to be like God. No, we're never going to be like God. Now, God means eternal. That means no beginning or ending. Every one of us, we're born and we're going to die. We have a beginning and we're going to have an ending. That's not so with God. God has no beginning and ending. Because God has always been. When it says we're going to be like Him, we're going to be in spirit. We're going to have a spiritual body. Matter of fact, Matthew 22, in answering the argument of the Sadducees who denied the resurrection, by giving that big hypothetical question that they gave and tried to say that there was going to be no resurrection because this woman would have seven husbands, and then at the resurrection going to have all this confusion because we don't know whose wife she's going to be because she has seven husbands. Jesus said, you err not knowing the Scripture, nor the power of God. He said, there is no marriage in heaven. There is no giving of marriage in heaven. For we will be like what? Like the angels. What kind of being is an angel? He is a spiritual being. A spiritual being. And so we are going to become a spiritual being. Now, he makes an argument by talking about Adam. Look at verse 45. It is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. In verse 21, we have Adam and Christ are both universal examples. Both of the just and the unjust. Now notice in verse 45, the first man, Adam, became a living being. What does Genesis 2 verse 7 say? God breathed into man, into the nostrils of man, the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and some translations have being. There was a man, and that's the physical side. The second Adam is making a contrast to Jesus Christ. He is the life-giving Spirit. Now, in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, marvel not that the hour is coming, that all that are in the grave will hear His voice, and will come forth. Those who have done good, to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. Now there are those in the religious world, for one, the Jehovah's Witness, that teach that the evil, they're not going to be raised, or they're going to be raised a lot later, they're going to be raised a thousand years later, after the millennium of the earth, and then they're going to be raised, and then they're going to be destroyed instantaneously. They're just going to cease to exist. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that they will be raised to a resurrection of condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says that all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether it's good or bad. Now, to reemphasize this, look at Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. Now, what this is a glimpse into the final judgment. Verse 11 says, then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for Him. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up and delivered the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his work. Then. Now that's an important word. Then. That means something takes place before verse 14 happens. It says death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. When is they? Then is after the judgment. After the judgment, death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is hell. It is eternal torment. It is Gehenna. It is eternal condemnation. Now, there are going to be people that have eternal life, and there are going to be people that get eternal condemnation. There's going to be two verdicts. One's good and one's bad. But both are eternal. And they will both happen at the time of the final resurrection and the final judgment. Now, we receive a living soul, a body fitted for life in this world from Adam. We receive a life-giving spirit, a body fitted for life in the world to come from Christ. You see, there's two parts of man. There's flesh and there's spirit. You can see the flesh. You can't see the spirit. But both exist in us. We have an inner body. We have an outer body. The outer body was given to us so we'd be in the image of Adam. The inner body was given to us so we would be in the image of Christ. And so we have a natural body and we have a spiritual body. And in the book of Romans, it talks about a fight. That is a continual battle for every one of us. The flesh and the spirit. What is that battle all about? It's about supremacy. It's about control. Who has control? Does the physical or does the spiritual? The one that has control is the one that dictates how we live our life and the choices we make. If we live for the spirit, we allow God to conform our choices, and we live by His word and we walk according to His pattern. If we live for the flesh, we live after the world and its standard, and that will lead us to eternal destruction. And so we have both elements here. But in the final resurrection, we're only going to have one. And that's the spiritual, not the physical. The physical is going to be gone because we will no longer live upon the earth. Now, look at verse 47. Now, look at verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, what's that mean? Here's what that means. You can't get to the second body till you get rid of the first body. So what does that imply? You've got to die. I got to die. I have to die in order to get the spiritual body. The natural body has to die in order for me to gain the spiritual body. As was man in verse 48, as man was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Now, as was the man of dust, so are those who are made of dust. And so it is the heavenly man, those are of the heavenly. But verse 49 explains it. Verse 49 says, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, are we like Adam? Yes. We have his body and flesh and blood. We're like Adam. We're the man of dust. So we also bear the image of the heavenly man. And so we have the image of the physical Adam, but we also have the image of the spiritual Christ because we have an inner being. Now, we bore the image of Adam in the flesh. We must also bear the image of Christ in the spirit. Now, here's where it should become crystal clear to everyone. And that is in verse, man is in the physical state while he's on earth. The body fitted for this realm. In the resurrection, the body that we have then will be made for a new habitation. It will not be earth. It will be in a spiritual realm. And it will be fitted for that realm. And whether you end up in heaven or you end up in hell, your body is going to be fitted for all eternity in one place or the other. You're going to live eternity somewhere. I'm going to live in eternity somewhere. And I'm not going to live in this. I'm going to live in a new body. In a spiritual body. Not a natural body. Now, because we bore the image of the earthly, Adam exemplified the earthly in verse 40, a natural body. It's translated natural in that we are equipped for this earthly life and we die. This body died. Does this body live forever? Was it ever designed to live forever? Was it created to live forever? No. This body gets sick, it gets diseased, it grows old. It eventually decays, it's going back to the dust. It was never created to last forever. But there was something that you were given when you were born that was expected to last forever. That's the inner person. That's the person who makes you unique. You know, they say there's always somebody that looks like you. You have a double somewhere. I feel sorry for whoever that is in my life. But whoever that is, you have a double. You know, there's a lot of talk about cloning. How do you clone a soul? Man can't do that. Because that's God's will. You can't clone a soul. A soul is what makes us individually different. No two people have the same type of soul. That's what makes us individuals. That's what makes us different, the inner being of what we have. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We bore Adam's image, we'll bear Christ's image. We shall be resurrected in a body like the one that Christ possessed, free from decay, dishonor, and mortality. Your body is mortal. It's going to die. The body that you're going to get is going to be immortal. It's never going to die. It's going to be different. But you know what? To get to the immortality and to get to the spiritual, you've got to get rid of the natural first. So that means we have to die. No way around it. And Hebrews 9 confirms that, doesn't it? It's appointed unto man once to die. And after the death cometh the judgment. Now, there's another question. Now this answers the question about all the people that are in the grave, wherever they might be, whether they're in the sea, whether they're in the ocean, whether they've been blown up, whether they've been buried, whether they've been cremated, whether they've been dead for 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 10 days. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Do you think that presents some kind of dilemma to God? That He can't get around? No. But there's another question. Not everybody's going to be dead when the Lord comes again. There's going to be people still walking around on the earth. What about them? What happens to them? Verse 50 answers it. In verse 50, now I say, brother, he's making a transition. He's leaving this subject to talk about a new thought. And it begins in verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, Paul considers another objection before it's even raised. What will happen to those who are alive when the Lord comes again? How can they be resurrected seeing they are dead yet? But I want you to look at verse 50. It's important. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What does that imply? This body is not going on the earth. It's not going to heaven. Because when we die, we no longer will ever need this body again. We will never use it again. It's done. It was created to us to live here, to function here, to do the things that God put us here to do. And when we die, its use is now over. We don't need it. What about those who are alive? what's going to happen to them. Verse
51. Our earthly natural bodies are suited for eternal life. Me, this mortal body, and many may denote the living rather than the dead. But look at verse number 51. In verse number 51, all will be given a body equipped for eternity. But the lost, both the lost and the unsaved, will inherit the heavenly eternal kingdom through regeneration, not through generation. Look at verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we're all not going to be dead. But we shall be changed. What's that mean? That means the physical body is not coming out of the grave. If we're going to be changed, that means that some way those who are alive have to get rid of this. They weren't buried, they didn't die before the Lord came again. What's going to happen if they're still in this body when the Lord comes? The Bible says they will be changed. Look at verse number 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, how long does it take you to twinkle your eye? Instantaneously. At the last trump, for the trumpet will sound. Now here's the order. Here's the order of the final things that are going to take place. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be made incorruptible. What's that mean? That means those who are in the grave are going to come first, and they're going to come incorruptible. That means they're not going to have this body. They're going to have an incorruptible body. So they're going to have a new spiritual body. And those who are alive, we shall be changed. You know what that means? That means this body is going away, and a new body is going to take its place. Instantaneously. Now, do you think God can't do that? God created this body from the body from the dust of the ground. You think it's going to present some great problem for us to have millions or billions of people drop this body of flesh and blood and give it a new body for the new habitation it's going to have? I don't think that's going to present a problem with God. It says in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible body has to go so the incorruptible body can take its place. And the mortal body that dies, that gets sick, that gets disease, that grows old, that grows feeble, is going to be replaced with the body of immortality that will never die, never defile, never decay. And all of this is going to take place at the final coming of Christ. Final resurrection, judgment of all men, and the verdict of heaven or hell are all going to be done simultaneously at the coming of Jesus Christ. And everyone is going to die. Those who have already died have already made the transition. They've already been put back to the dust. When they come out of the grave, they'll have a new body. Those who are alive, their body will drop, and they will be given the body of immortality, and one that doesn't decay, and then there's going to be a judgment of all men. All men are going to stand before Christ, they're going to give an account of their life, and God is going to judge mankind. Now, all this is to equip us for the realm that we're going to live in. We're going to live in a new realm, we're going to need a new body. Now, here's the good news. So when this corruptible, that's this body, has put on incorruption, that's the new body, and this mortal, that's this body, has put on immortality, that's the new body, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Where is the sting of death? It's gone.
because we're never going to die again. Never a threat to man again. Never a threat to human race. Man is never going to die again. And where is the victory of Hades? Because all those souls that are in that Hadean realm, they're coming out of it. They're coming out of it. And so now, Hades and death have been defeated. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to look at Revelation chapter 1 in verse 18. You know, in the Revelation letter, the first chapter gives a description of the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne. But I want you to notice something that it says about him in verse number 18 of Revelation 1. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of what? Hades and death. What do keys do? They unlock things. How does Jesus have the keys to death? Did he stay in the grave? He came out of the grave for 3 days. He overcame death. Did he die again? He overcame death. He has the keys. He knows how to do it. What about Hades? Did he stay in the Hadean realm? He came out of the Hadean realm. He died. If you go back to Matthew 27, it says he died and yielded up his spirit. Where did his spirit go? He didn't go back to heaven. He didn't go back to heaven until 50 days later. Where did that spirit go for 3 days? He went to the same place you and I spirit would go when we died. Into the Hadean. But he didn't stay there, did he? Came out of that wrong too, didn't he? So he knows how to come out of the grave. He knows how to come out of heat. He showed us the way. So he has the keys to both things. And so when we overcome death and Hades, we have been swallowed up in victory. Now, here's the kicker. Look at verse 58. What does the word therefore mean? That means that this is drawing a conclusion from all the previous truth that has already been stated. We've already stated that there's going to be a resurrection. The physical body is going to die, the natural body is going to die, the mortal body is going to die, and it's going to be replaced with an eternal body, an incorruptible body, and an undefiled body, and a spiritual body. Now, since all those things are going to take place at the last trump, and all that's going to happen, therefore, what shall we do? Look at verse 58. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. What's that mean? That means we win. We win because we overcome death. We overcome the Hadean realm. And we get to go and live with God forever in heaven in a new body, in a spiritual body, forever and ever and ever. We win. But how do you get there? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what that word means? It means always moving forward. Not status quo. Not just occupying a seat. Not just taking up a space. You've got to be working in order to gain the final victory. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what God wants for all of us. God wants us to win. Now the world may scoff at the scripture, and it may make light of it, and it may deny all the things that we've read about tonight. But you know what? They've done that for a long time. But I'm telling you, the day is coming when we're going to leave this life. It will either be before the Lord comes again, or it will be when He comes, it will be alive. But you know what?
if we're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, it doesn't matter if you're alive or if you're dead, it don't matter. Because both are going to get the same thing. It doesn't matter if you've been dead for 1,000 years, and it doesn't matter if you're alive when the Lord comes again. The only thing that matters, ladies and gentlemen, is how you lived while you were here. That's the only thing that will matter. And so tonight, is there going to be a resurrection? Yes, there is. Are all men going to be raised? Yes, they are. Are all men going to die? Yes, they are. Are all men going to be changed? Yes, they are. And all those things are facts. They're not, we're not asking about things that are not going to happen. These are going to happen. But all of that, all of what I just said, doesn't mean a lick. Doesn't mean anything. You know why? Because all that's going to happen, whether you like it, whether you believe it, or whether you don't like it, it won't matter because all that's going to happen. All that's going to happen. The only thing that does matter is what will you and I be resurrected and changed for? The resurrection of life or the resurrection of condemnation? It's going to be one or the other. There's not going to be purgatory. There's not going to be an instant destruction that you weren't good enough, so you're just going to be raised, and God's going to give you a new spiritual body, and then He's going to destroy it, and it's all done for you. You know what? That's comforting for a person that lives with life evil and lives a life contrary to God. That'd be a comforting thing, because they're not going to suffer. Just going to be gone instantaneously. God didn't say that. How long is heaven for? Eternity. How long is that? We can't comprehend it. We don't even understand that word, do we? Eternity means never ending. And we know heaven is forever, don't we? Well, I got news for you. So is hell. Hell is eternal too. And if you're not prepared, that's what you and I will receive. We will receive hell. And it will be for as long as the body will last. That's how long eternity will last. And you know that body? You got to remember, it's immortality. It doesn't grow up. It doesn't defile. That means if it goes to hell, it's never going to die. If it's never going to die, what does that mean? That means that it will be tormented forever and ever and ever. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how do you put a good spin on that? How do I make that sound like a pleasant experience? I can't, and I won't even try. But I can tell you what, I can make heaven sound like a wonderful experience. Something that you would want, something you would desire, and something that you will pray that that's what will happen when you leave this earth. And so I close this lesson tonight in this chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians, asking you this question. If that night was tonight, and the Lord came back from the last trump song, and the dead in the ground started to be changed, and they started to come up with a new body, and our body was changed and would fall away, and we would be given a new spiritual body, where would it be headed? Would it be headed to be with God? Or would it be headed to be with the devil and his angels? It's going to be one or the other. What determines that? How we live our life and the choices we make here. That's what determines where we will spend eternity. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need seriously to consider the risk you're taking with your soul. If you are a Christian and you're not living the kind of life that you should, you need to really consider that. Because the Lord is going to come back. Make no mistake about it. God doesn't lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, God does not lie. He's coming back. And when He comes back, there's going to be a final resurrection. And there's going to be a day where we're given account. That's going to happen. You know, we often say in our life that death and taxes are sure. I got news for you. There's two other things sure. You're going to face the Lord in judgment. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And time is given to us to get ready. Are you ready?
If you're not, you need to make preparation. If we can help you do that by rendering obedience to the gospel, or by making your life right, we're here to do so, and we bid you to come forward as we stand.